Bye. Praise the Lord this afternoon. That's exactly my heart as we gather together. Let us tread softly, for the Master is here. We have that assurance. We've gathered together in the name of the Lord Jesus with two couples who have been consecrated to God. And we have that promise that He's here. And we give praise and thanks for that. This afternoon, on behalf of Tim and Becky and Reuben, Miriam and their families, we want to welcome each one of you to this wedding service, and we want to thank you for taking the time to be here. You don't know what a blessing it is to them to know that there are this many people that are concerned about them and their marriage and their life that lies out ahead of them. Ye are all the witnesses who came to hear them dedicate their lives together before God. And it's very important. We thank you for being here today. Just a couple of announcements. We're requesting that there be no cameras used during the service for the sake of holy order. And also, if we could make this plea in Christian love, we would request also that there be no, wedding pranks that people tend to pull on days like this. In Christian love, we would just make that request also, that everything be done decently and in order and in the spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for that. Just a little bit of order. I'll be having just an opening meditation here, and then the wedding message will be given by Brother Moe Stolzfus, and he will carry out also the hearing of the vows and giving of the vows and the marriage itself. So let's open our Bibles then for an opening meditation to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. In this little meditation, Brother Tim, Sister Becky, and Brother Reuben, Sister Miriam, we'd just like to set the spirit of your marriage a little bit by this meditation. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, and reading, "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam." Notice, Adam is by himself at this time, to see what he would call them. "And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bone, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, because of this," because of these verses we just read, "therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Now what I'd like you to see here in this text, I'd like you to notice, first of all, that God noticed that it was not good for the man to be alone. I'd like us also to notice this afternoon that Adam noticed and knew that he was alone also. I believe as we read down through the text here, it was very apparent to Adam, after all the animals had come before him and he had named them one by one, male, female, male, female, all the way down through creation, and I believe he gave all the names of all the animals at that time. There was no woman for Adam. He was very aware that he had no helpmeet, that he had no partner. And the Bible says that God knew this already, and knew already that it was not good for the man to be alone. But I believe that God ordered it the way that he did so that it would be clearly set in Adam's mind that he was alone. Brother Tim, Brother Reuben, both of you, you are alone. You've been alone for many years. I would this afternoon that it be set clearly in your mind that you realize that you've been alone. You've been without a helpmeet. Now I'd like us to notice what God did here. God put Adam to sleep, and out of the side of Adam took he one rib, and with that rib, God, in the same way that he does in so many ways, he worked a marvelous miracle, and he made a woman out of that rib that he took out of Adam. And then he took that woman and brought her to Adam and gave her to Adam. Here's what I'd like you to see. Both of you couples, you can set the spirit of your marriage out of this text right here. Imagine how Adam must have felt when he woke up. Just imagine how he must have felt. Yes, maybe it brings a smile to our face, but I think if we realize the magnitude of Adam's loneliness, I think that we can see a very deep relationship beginning right here. Adam was alone, and now here stands a woman that the God of heaven brought to him and gave to him. Imagine how Adam must have felt. Imagine the hard attitude that he must have had toward Eve, his new wife. If you two young men can just grasp the depth of that meaning right there and live that out all the days of your married life, it will give you a happy marriage. Imagine also how Eve must have felt. For you young ladies, Eve was not. Eve did not exist. She was not there. She was in the mind of God, and that is it. Eve was not. And then all of a sudden, by the miracle working power of Almighty God, Eve was there. Imagine how Eve must have felt as the God of heaven took her and brought her to the man and said, Eve, this is your husband. This is Adam. You were made for him. Be his helpmeet. Imagine how Eve must have felt. You girls, you young ladies, you meditate upon that a while. You get the depth of the meaning of the Spirit of how Eve must have felt that day and live on that all the days of your marriage, and you'll also have a happy marriage. I am here for one thing. I was made for this man. I have breath in my body for this man. I have strength in my arms for this man. What a beautiful combination. For the man, God gave me this woman for me. I was alone and God gave me this woman for the woman. I am here simply because God made me for the man. What flows out of that? Well, I think we can all understand that pretty fast already. A heart of gratitude, a tenderness, a willingness, a cherishing, a willingness to be what you're supposed to be one to another. That's what flows out of that. And I believe that's the heart attitude that Adam had as he took the hand of his new wife and took her through the garden that day, because she had never seen the garden before. She was not there. And Adam took her by the hand and said, look what God made. And they walked together, and Eve was realizing, I'm alive and I exist and all these things are here, and God made me just for this man right here. And her heart must have welled up with gratitude and praise unto God, and his heart must have done the same thing as he realized, now I have a partner.
Now I have a helpmeet. And I would just encourage you, both couples, to set the spirit of your marriage with those hard attitudes right there. You can live off of that the rest of your life. If you get no other instruction, you could live off of that the rest of your life and have happy marriages. We just thank God today for this opportunity that we could be together here, that we could be here to witness the two of you giving your vows to one another. And we just wish you God's blessing. We wish that God would prosper your goal. We wish that God would raise you up to be a mighty testimony of what Christian marriages are all about. May God's blessing rest upon the both of you as we go through this service today. Shall we all stand together and have prayer? Shall we go on with the message? Let's pray together unto the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, O God, we look to You this afternoon with praise and thanksgiving. We look to You, O God, as the One who started this whole thing in creation. You're the One, O God, that sanctified marriage and began marriage back there in the Garden of Eden. O Father, we pray today that You will continue to do that work of blessing and sanctification in the lives of these two couples that are here today. Father, we pray that You'll make this day a special day to them. We pray, dear Lord, that You'll stamp the image of this day upon their heart. May they never forget it. May it be deeply stamped within them, Lord. I pray that they'll live off of this day. Many a day, I pray, dear God, when hard times come, and we know that they will, that they'll remember this sweet day in their life and gain strength and courage to continue on. Oh, Lord, I pray that You let a holy awe settle over each one of their hearts and help them to sincerely know that the vows that they say today are heard in heaven today and they are not taken lightly. Father, we commit them into Your hands. In the name of Jesus, we commit the preaching of Your word also into Your hands, Lord. And we invite You to be here in the person of Your Spirit. We pray that Your presence would hover over us and dwell among us today. Oh God, we ask these things in the name of Jesus, Your Son, with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen.
We also greet each one this afternoon in the name of Jesus. Very grateful to be able to meet all of you and to see your keen interest in your love and friendship to the two couples we have with us here today in this double wedding. We consider it a double blessing to be here to witness and experience. What we're doing here this afternoon is an attempt by God's grace to have a God-honoring wedding. You will notice that perhaps some of the traditions of the past have been changed, and some of them remain. We have tried by God's grace to take the ones that are God-honoring and God-fearing and continue in them, and the ones that are not, to leave them behind. And so I would like to give you 4 points at the beginning of the service here, just echoing the hearts of the two couples that are here with us and what their desire is for them for this day. They desire this day that they have no regrets, that by God's grace they can go home and in the years to come, as their children raise up, they can tell their children of their wedding day without a regret. And that simply means that it is not kept in banqueting and reveling in gluttony and drunkenness, but rather in a holy, God-fearing way, that there are no regrets upon their lives or the lives of any that are here today, that they have had a service which truly God could shine upon and could bless. We also believe, and they agree with us, that this wedding should be a blessing for them, a extra special day. I like to think it of the second most important day of their life. The day in which they found Jesus Christ as their personal Savior is the all-important first day and all-important day of their life. But the second is the one in which they decide to share
their lives with another individual and walk through life together by His grace and power. Then we believe it ought to be a blessing for the church here at Flatwillow. It's a first for them since they have begun here, and we thank God for this blessing upon the church. It's a time when many visitors have come. Many people have driven 1,900, 2,000 miles or flown. Many have driven. They're here from the south, the north, east, and the west. And it's a blessing to the church. They have suffered through much loneliness in the past 3-4 years. But today the loneliness is gone. And many souls have come and have spent the money to be here to show the keenness that they have in the spiritual prosperity of the church today. And then it's a time of decision for the guests. We believe that the principles of the Word of God are life and truth. And if you find your life dry and void of them today, they desire, and we wish them, that it would be a time of decision for the guests. A time of going home and saying, that's the kind of wedding I want. Amen. A time of going home and saying, yes, what's life anyhow without the blessing of God? A time of going home and just with deep drawings from the power of the Spirit of God, yield their lives in a more deeper way to Jesus Christ. I wouldn't doubt it a bit whether the results of this wedding and the meeting in the last few days will cause men and women to go into their private closet and to make a commitment to Jesus Christ in a deeper and a more profound way, because they have met God in a real way at this place in the last few days. It is without doubt and without question, last night in the service, that God dwelt in that place in there and out here. And people were touched and lives were moved as they felt the power of it in their lives. And I only say, when you go home, don't shove it aside, but take that time to go in a closet and make a deep commitment to Jesus Christ. Take the path of the examples of these two couples in the past years, how their lives have been dramatically changed. Matthew chapter 19, the scriptures in Genesis 2 have already been read, and we realize this afternoon that is God's design. And in Matthew chapter 19, verse 4, he says, answering the Pharisees that tempted him, and he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And he said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. That is what is happening here today by the grace and on the authority of God's Spirit and His Word. We desire to see them this day end a specific relationship that they've had in submission to father and mother, and to be under their house and under their roof, and to walk out of that house today, which they have already done. And they will never enter that door the same way again. Because they have chosen, Brother Tim and Brother Reuben, to take a young lady and to commit your life to them today, and to make some vows in the fear of God, and in such a way that is God-honoring, God-recognizable, because it's done in light of the Holy Scriptures. Commit your lives one to another, and you are no more single, you are no more alone, you are no more twain, but you have become one flesh by the grace of God. And let us emphasize the fact that let no man or no woman under this open heaven, on the face of the whole earth, ever attempt to give you a bill of divorcement from it. Don't ever let anyone attempt to do it. Men and women try to do it, but it is dead wrong. And don't ever let anyone offer it to you, though it can be gotten for $100 today. And then we'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15. Excuse me, verse 11. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We're going to emphasize this morning laying a right foundation for a Christian home. Lay the right foundation to begin holy matrimony on, that the blessings of it will continue in years to come. I'd also like to quote it in German, Andere Grund, kann niemand legen, außer dem, der gelegt ist. Welchem ist Jesus Christus? Und das ist mit dieser Verheißung, dass wir hier haben heute, dass die zwei Ehepaare bei uns sind und wollen ihr Leben übergeben zueinander unter dem Fundament Christo Jesu und darauf bauen und stehen ihr Lebenslang. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. For the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Even though I believe that this specific scripture may be speaking of the spiritual sense of a man's life, yet I would like to take from it an analogy to the married life. My dear people, do you realize today that the fire shall try every man's work, every man's home of what sort it is? The fire of trials, the fire of time, the fire of going on in life. Eventually and ultimately, Brother Reuben and Sister Miriam and Tim and Becky, your life will be tried, and that fiery trial will hit home enough so that you will have to discover whether you have laid yourselves upon the foundation of Jesus Christ or not. If you are laid on that foundation and have built with precious stones and not with wood, hay, and stubble, we assure you, under the authority of the Word of God, that your work shall be tried with fire and shall stand. But if you have built with wood, hay, and stubble of this world, with the foolish and frivolous things of the world, with the things that do not lay upon the foundation of God and His precious Word, and have built your home on emotion and on fun and on frivolity and on entertainment and on wrong music, and on lust and all those things of the flesh, it shall be tried with fire and shall not stand, my brother. It would rather that when that fire comes to try it, and it really will try it in one way or another, even though there are many different types of trials and there are different types of testing that come our way, the fire shall try it, and usually we discover it before too long, even though the heat of a fire is different for different troubles. All of us can say, we've been tried, we've been tested, we know now whether we loved each other or not. And I just encourage you this morning that the foundation can be laid right and good and solid day by day. And you can put on more bricks and more cement and make it bigger and greater as time goes on. That the fiery wing and the fiery trials of Lucifer, the great serpent who tries to destroy all homes, shall not succeed to wreck your home or even to get a dent in it or his foot inside the door. And then in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. May I again refer to this, that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of holy matrimony. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of a right marriage relationship. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. Ist der Eckstein von aller Ecksteine. Und wenn wir unsere Steine auf dieser Eckstein legen, dann werden die bleiben. Und die Feuer und das Wind dieser Welt werden die nicht abreißen. I praise God this afternoon for the opportunity to have this cornerstone laid in my life 24 years ago and more now. And I can say it's a tried stone, a true stone, a true stone. And if we, whosoever believeth in Him, shall not be ashamed, you shall not be disappointed, you shall not be embarrassed, you shall never regret the fact. If you laid your life on Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone of your life, When we look at foundations, I like to think, first of all, the fact when we want to build one, when the men here, I'm sure, built some of these buildings, there's one of the first things they do is excavate. And I would like to emphasize excavation this morning in preparation for the foundation, simply because a lot of people try to build on the foundation without excavating first. But we first have to clean away the rubble. We first have to clean away the non-essentials. We first have to clean away the things which are not solid to build on. And for that reason, I emphasize this morning, under the authority of the Word of God, excavate first of all in your life, in preparation for marriage. And I know you've already done it, or I have spoken to you about it. The sin and the corruption and the unholiness of your past. And now you lay that foundation on an excavated area, down on solid bedrock. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, and ye which are lively stones, build up in Him. And that's what will make the right foundation. The first stone we want to look at to lay on the chief cornerstone, and that right foundation is the stone of the new birth. Mm-hmm. When you have excavated the old life, and the old thing, and the old relationships, and the old habits, and the old deeds, and the old things that you, the old hatred, and the anger, and the wrath, and all that, then, and you have cleaned that out, and confessed it, and brought it under the blood of Jesus, all guilt is gone, because you have been washed in Jesus' blood, and the sins have been washed away. You now need to lay a stone of a born-again experience, being transformed and translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom you have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The first stone to lay in a home is the stone of a new, transformed, changed life. Now I'll tell you why. If you don't have that, you'll tend to fight. You'll tend to get angry. You'll tend to hurt. And you'll tend to put more woe upon each other's lives. But if your nature has been killed and died with Christ on Calvary Cross, and you're now partaker of the divine nature, you will have the grace to love where there was hatred. You'll have the grace to forgive where there was bitterness and unforgiveness. And therefore, it is absolutely essential that you have this stone in your foundation. And we are persuaded that it is there. Galatians chapter 5, a purified life. Wir müssen ein rein und sauberes Leben haben, dieses reine Leben ausführen in unserem Leben. Anders geht das nicht. My beloved brethren, we have to have a purified life through the grace and power of God. If we do not deal with our flesh, like the scripture says in Galatians chapter 5, having crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If that is not done, we are inviting to ourselves trouble. But if we have been purified and we have dealt with the carnal affections and the carnal lusts, then we can have success. We have to have the purified life. Too many people go back to 15 years ago, or as a child when they were 8 or 10, and say, yes, I ate the stone of the new birth when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Here you come to the marriage altar 15 years later, or 10 years later. I ask you this question. Have you had your life brought up to date by the blood of Jesus on the impurities of your life today? Have you had the Reinigung? Have you had the cleansing? Have you had the purifying through the blood of Jesus? If not, then I would say, even though you might have been born again one time, you are not ready for holy matrimony. And Ephesians 5, verse 18 says, but be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a teacher and an instructor of life. And I believe a person can come pretty ignorant to problems and situations if he has the Holy Spirit as the great teacher of his life. Another stone is authority and submission. A stone many people do not take in their foundation today. But the position of headship, my brother Reuben and my brother Tim, you are from this day forth the absolute authority and head of your home in that sense. Maybe I shouldn't say absolute, because it is only as you submit yourself to your head, the authority of God in your life, that you have any authority to expedite on your life. But nevertheless, let me tell you, you are authority in your home, and you need to lead your wife, and she takes the role of submission. A little bit old-fashioned teaching there, but nevertheless, true according to the Word of God. Let me lift up the principle of a covered head today. The covering that you wear should not be a covering of tradition or a covering of habit or practice from ages past. Other than, but rather, a personal conviction that you are aware of a sign of submission that you have taken your place, Sister Becky and Sister Miriam, in submission to your head, your husband, and also to have power on your head because of the angel. There's a whole message in it, but I want to tell you, don't wear your covering only because of the religious background that you have, but wear your covering because it is a sign of authority. And let me tell you something a little deeper yet. Not only you have power on your head because of the angels. What angels? I say the good angels and the bad angels. You need to cover your head because of the fact that the good angels see it and love it. They see that you're taking your place in God's order, and they'll bless you and protect you for it. And it's a sign, my sister, to the bad angels, the angels which kept not their first estate, but have sinned. Yes, it's a sign to them in that they come around you. And they see the authority that you have in your head. They will run out of there because they know that you are in your order and your place, and they cannot tempt you and ruin you like they ruin the women of this world to get them out of their place. Authority and submission. Study meticulously 1 Corinthians 11 for all of it, and we will not go into great detail today on that scripture. The family altar, another stone that you need upon your foundation in your home today is that of a family altar, a place to pray, a place to sing, and a place to read the Word of God, where it is right and normal to pull the Bible off the shelf without any dust on it and lay it out before the family, and to go by its precepts, and to go by its principles, and to repent where you've done wrong, and to confess if you're not going the wrong way. Read it consistently. Read it prayerfully. Read it regularly, my friend. And that only doesn't go for you, Brother Tim, and you, Brother Reuben, but I plead with that for all those that are in this room. You want a blessing? You want order? You want happiness? You want joy? You want direction in your life? Come back to the great director, the Lord Jesus Christ, who through the inspired Word of God has written on everything that pertaineth to life in order for instruction, for righteousness, and for reproof, and for rebuke, that you might live a sound and orderly and godly life in this present evil world. A family altar, so often neglected, too busy, and on we go in life, but we find many times that we suffer the more for it, and become dry in our soul because we do not give God His rightful place at our altar. The stone of forgiveness. It would be unhuman this afternoon if I would teach that this couple, because of both these couples, because of their position in Christ Jesus, would go out of here and live happily ever after. It would be inhuman and unreal. Life is life, and mistakes are made. But we have a remedy for mistakes. It's confession and forgiveness when we err. And therefore I say, if sharp words are given, hurts are made, misunderstandings, then I ask you, there must be forgiveness, as we are told over in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, in the Sermon on the Mount. If ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men your trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And it's that simple. Brother Reuben, if you can never forgive her because she just hurt you too bad, you get to the great fire of God on the judgment day. God can't forgive you. He can throw it right in your face and say, you couldn't forgive your wife. I can't forgive you. That's what the scripture says. Brother Tim, likewise, if you can't forgive Becky for the mistakes she made, and pick her up again and love her, and totally forget and forget, we say back home, throw it out in the cornfield. When we confess and forgive, we bury it, we get rid of it, it's gone. And we forgive and start fresh and new. Important? All important. Is it something to be emphasized? Absolutely to be emphasized. If you cannot forgive your brother whom you have seen you can't forgive each other. The Sermon on the Mount teaches that so. And I just feel there are so many couples and so many homes that break up because people cannot forgive. That I just feel I'm just going to assume you're human enough that you're going to make some mistakes. I'm going to tell you, take this stone with you and put it in your foundation, then it's there in case it ever happens. Keep yourself in fellowship with a godly people. Another stone that I believe is of tremendous asset and benefit to God's people. Many fail at it, many neglect it, and their life doesn't get fed with heavenly manna. But I ask you, make it a priority to, even if it takes geographical relocation, that you find fellowship with a body of believers that is true, that is upright, that preaches and teaches the Word of God. Because not only by preaching are sinners saved, but by preaching on the Word are saints reminded and are kept from falling many times. Therefore, I say, do what it takes to keep yourself in a spiritual fellowship. And then I'd like to lay the stone of a commitment to love. And I call it a commitment because, like I talked the other night, it's more than an emotion. It's more than because she's pretty. It's more than because she has a nice dress on. It's more than that. I ask you that day again to take the stone and lay it upon your foundation. It's a tried stone, and it's a precious stone that we need. A commitment to love. That your vows today are a commitment, and you'll hear they're in health, they're in sickness, they're in adversity, and are in prosperity. And so many people, they say, yes, I can love as long as I get, but when I don't get, then I can't give anymore. But I still tell you something. There is grace from Almighty God that is available to give even though you don't get a drop anymore, my brother. Even though something happens that your wife, and God forbid if it ever happened, would go astray from God and would never give you an ounce of love anymore. I want your commitment to be firm enough that you can love her even though she would do that. And likewise, my sisters, though your husbands would return back to the old life and would forsake you and hurt you, I tell you, I want your commitment for love to be deep enough that you'll fall in love and honey on even though that he doesn't understand and even though you have been had a knife to your heart. A commitment to love. According to Ephesians 5, let us read it. Husband, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water, by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own body. And I like to say that in sense for the ladies, because I think we could say it for the men, but it came to my mind. Don't only put perfume on your lives, but put them on your partner's lives. Mm-hmm. Love, many people, they pamper their own lives, you know. They try to make themselves smell good. But how about borrowing some to your partner and trying to make him or her smell good? Love your wives, husbands, as Christ loved the church. Love your wives as you love your own bodies. Many people do not do that. They are selfish in their sports and in their recreation, and they go off and let her sit thinking only of their own enjoyment. But that is not right. Jesus Christ is teaching us in his word that husbands should be considerate and tender and loving. And I said, then don't only perfume your own bodies, but perfume your wife or your husband's lives. And just a little on the practical yet that I would like to, or some practical teaching. Some people have called the time that you have spent here in the past year, I'm not sure how long it was for Tim, but I know for Reuben, our first visit here is when they began back in July a year ago, and it is often called courtship. But God forbid that the courtship stops today. My heart desires it only heats up, that it only gets better, that true courtship now can begin. And I would say, don't ever let the fire go out. Continuing, put the gas on the fire and let it burn brighter and brighter till the years go on. And I would like to tell you, James, don't stop having dates. Don't stop that. We have dates at 24 years of anniversary in our lives, and we need them. They're a blessing to us. We say no to the other things of the world at times, and just simply have a good old-fashioned date, where we go out alone together, and we enjoy some scenery, or maybe a meal at a restaurant or something, and God forbid that I should narrow it down to a few things. You know what your pocketbook can afford, but even if it isn't more than a drive or a walk back to the back 40, and just to talk and look at the stars or at the moon, mm-hmm. or like you did when you had it before you married, then I say, do it, my brother. It won't cost you 5 cents in your pocketbook. And then I would say, confess, like it's been said in the letter Sister Susie read last night, don't ever let the sun go down upon your wrath. If you fail, if you hurt, if you offend, then make it right before you roll over to go to sleep. You'll save your marriage tremendous strain and heartache and sleepless nights of tossing. If you can, by God's grace, humble yourselves, my brethren, especially husbands, listen. It takes a good degree of brokenness and humility to get down to that lesser vessel that you think you have in your house and say, I'm sorry, I have wronged you. But if you can humble yourself and do that, you'll do yourself a millionaire favor to preserve your marriage in happiness. I'll tell you what, just do it, and you'll find out how easy and how quick she'll forgive you. But likewise, the other way around, we tell you sisters the exact same. You will do it too, and there will be times that you'll need to turn to them and clear the stain. Would you please forgive me? I'm sorry that I did that.
Those are utmost important words in a marriage relationship, to be able to say, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me?
And then I would say, if trouble comes that you can't work through, quickly get counsel, call a brother up. And I'm sure Brother Dane, I would say collective to me too. Let God's grace can immediately be poured in from a third party. But I know that you have them around here too. Get counsel. If you hit, get stuck in a mud over a certain issue or a situation, quickly get counsel before it festers and then ruptures and causes a lot of problem. And then I would like to tell you, treat each other with courtesy. And again, I have to tell you, fellas, you know, you've been used to the tough life a little bit of cowboy in you, you know, where it doesn't have a lot of tenderness and a lot of respect for women many times. But I would like to tell you, that's another thing that needs to go in the cornfield when you get Jesus Christ and you treat your wives with respect and tenderness. They have feelings. They're not a fixture. They're not a piece of furniture. They're not hired. They're not bought with money. They're a human being that feels and lives. And they are concerned about your going to town. And they're concerned about your temptation. And they want to be your queen. And they want to be lifted up. And they want to be made to feel like they have the most important spot in your hearts. And don't you ever put anything else in there. No hunting, no fishing, no nothing, my friend. No nothing, let ever take the place of the queen of your heart, my brother Tim. And then I would say, you know, home, we often call it a little heaven on earth. It can be a little heaven or it can be a little hell. But I would like to say, home is a haven. When I got married, I soon decided and soon discovered that home is a special place, and I'll tell you why. It was the one place I could go and cry as a man. As a full-grown man, 21 years old, it was a place I could go and cry. And I would like to tell you that home is a haven. It's a haven spiritually. It's a haven emotionally. And it's a haven in comfort physically. It's all right to cry there. I've gone home at different times when I was backed up against the wall and I laid my head upon my wife's shoulder and wept because I was so emotionally drained and distraught by some situation that came into my life. And I would say that's the way it ought to be. Fall on your knees and pray about it. Talk it over with you. And I guarantee you, you'll feel 10, 20 times better. It's a place to be understood when no one else understands. And somebody's giving you an overhaul. And they've combed your hair like we say back east about some issue. That they thought you were just all wrong and all that. You go home and you have somebody, and I tell you, my sister, have a good listening ear. Let him talk it out before you quick try to tell him too what you think.
Let him empty himself out completely. And then just put the pieces back together again. You have the power to do it because you know the way into his heart more than anybody else. And just be able to let him unload and rest and be able to share their entire heart. And then let it be a place for physical rest. I believe the bedroom should be a comfortable place to be, and the living room likewise. He comes home weary from work, weary from out in the fields, eating dust all day many a time, and he is dead tired. Don't put all the things that need to be fixed at him when he comes walking in the door. Let him take his shoes off and give him a good meal and let him wash up and just unwind. He's dead tired. He's been frustrated with all the facts of the things of life. And then if you might have something you need fixed, hit him with it a couple of hours later. But not when he comes in the door, I beg you, you'll save yourself a lot of frustration. And I don't think it's meaning we have to tell you about a little hell either. Many of you know, many of you have seen it, some of you have experienced what it is. But the Bible says when we are laying, about laying on the foundation, I appreciate the word, take heed how you build. Take heed how you build. I've given you what to build with, but I say also take heed how you build. So many are ending up in shipwreck today and are wrecked and ruined. And it's so sad. It is so sad to see all the wreckages along the way. And you ask them whether it's blissful to have two or three partners in life or whether it is an agony and a fearful path. And I think 99.9% of them will tell you that it is a fearful path. It is a heart-rending experience. It is an emotional, almost choke you and shipwreck. In fact, many people end up in a mental institution or on medicine to try to stabilize their emotions over those terrible heart-rending times. In the beginning, it was not so. And then I would like to tell you, Brother Tim, Sister Becky, Brother Reuben, Sister Miriam, this is the only boat in the ocean. This is the only boat in the ocean. There are no other options. Now, if there's death, yes, then you have an opportunity to choose another partner. But as long as both of you shall live, God hates the Lord. It is a blatant evil and a sin, and this is the only boat in the ocean. And I'll tell you why I tell you that. If you're out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, and you have a leak in the boat, and that's the only boat around, you're going to try to bail the water out and to stop the leak. But if you think you have a dozen other boats around, you might jump out and get into another one. But if you see it that this is the only boat in the ocean, then I beg you, in Jesus' name, get a hold of the bucket and bucket the water out of there and put some putty into the leak, and you can stay afloat. But if you think there's a bunch of other boats out there, you may have to be tempted to do something else. But I know divorce and remarriage this morning is a sin. It's not right. And our nation and our society is reaping the effects of it. It is going down because of it. In the beginning it was not so, because of the hardness of the heart, Moses allowed it in the Old Testament. But it shall not be so. But now, you are bound together as long as you both shall live. And what God has joined together, don't ever let man put asunder. They'll try, but I don't believe in my heart they can do it. You're bound for life. And no piece of paper can give you the land, can give you the license to walk in the house of another woman. Let me talk a little bit more practical about lust. You know the Bible says, when lust conceives, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And I tell you, boys, for you young men, I don't like to refer to you as boys anymore, excuse me, you are now young men. But one of the things, one of the pitfalls for young married life is after a year or so that they have not properly dealt with their own lust of their flesh, they had a numerous other friends. They've now had their life for a year, and they've fallen into pitfalls of lust. And I tell you, if it ever, the first thought ever comes, quickly fall on your face before God and repent of it and root it out by the power of God. Because lust, left alone, what is conceived will bring forth sin, and sin, my brother, if it is finished, will bring forth death. And I believe that's probably about spiritual, but I'll assure you too, it'll hasten your physical death likewise. Many other men who are rampant with lust in the red light districts of America have an early grave today because they have given themselves to pornography and to the lust of other women, and they live out only half their days because they defile themselves. The Bible says a whore is a deep ditch. Her way leads the way to hell. And I want you to see that like the wise man Solomon said it in the book of Proverbs. Her way, her steps lead the way to hell. And earth, it's the way of death, as it says there. Root it out or it will destroy you. And then I ask you, build a home that your children, if God should bless you with them, can rise up and call you blessed. Build a home, gather the stones, lay them up with the mortar of God, solid upon that Eckstein Jesu Christi, the cornerstone, the grund and fundament Christi, the ground and foundation Jesus Christ, and lay them up there, stone upon stone, straight and accurate, with good mortar, and you will have a wall that the winds of this world will not blow over. And that your children may rise up and call you blessed. Yet a little admonition for colony life to the rest of you. I would ask you to respect their privacy in their home. Knock on the door in the early years of their marriage before walking in. Respect their privacy. Give them the option to have a home that is a home and not just simply a place where everybody walks through. Brother Denny mentioned already a little bit about no things that people usually do, and I'd just like to say, bless these couples. I wouldn't mind a bit if you want to come up to them and stop and raise your hand to heaven and pray over them outside here when you need them. I wouldn't mind a bit if you want to read them a song, read them a poem, or say a prayer with them. But bless their day. Reverence it and respect it in a holy atmosphere. Their hearts will leap with inside of them, and they will not forget you for the rest of your time, probably on earth, if you bless them on this day rather than hinder them. To the rest of you, I would like to give you a word. You probably say, I'm not there. I've missed it. And I want to tell you this afternoon, though you've missed it, there's hope for you today. The hope is not in the psychologist. The hope is not in the mental institution. The hope is not in the basics of books. But the hope is in Jesus Christ and His book. He has the answer, and He is the answer. And homes can be healed. I can tell you story upon story of homes that have even been wrecked with adultery. And wrecked in sin, and wrecked with separation, can be put back together again under the authority of the Spirit and Word of God. So there's hope for us all today. If things aren't going right, they can be made to go right. If you repent of your sins and turn to Jesus, and put yourselves on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And the young folks who are not married, marriage is for some, marriage is not for all. But what marriage for everyone is to be married to Jesus Christ. Get married to Him, and if you get married like this today, it's not so important. We're only going through life for a short time, and we're going to make it on the other side, and there we're going to be like the angels, not marrying or getting married. So this is just for a short space. If you find a husband, good. If you don't, still good. And give yourself, don't be overly jealous or pity yourself today if you haven't had this opportunity. But just yield yourself to Jesus Christ and live a holy life and find some avenue of Christian service and yielding yourself in the fear of God to the work of the church, to the work of the body, to the helping of others, and you shall have your reward. You shall have your reward. Brother Tim, Sister Becky, God bless you. Make your marriage
from this day forward. A little haven, a little heaven. I have high hopes for you because I know your foundation, having known you for this past year and talked many, many times together and heard your goals and your desires, and I would say, like the scripture says, I have full confidence. You know the answer. You haven't gone the road. You may not do everything all perfectly, but you have your eyes set. And I'm encouraged by you. Your testimony has been a blessing to me. It's been a privilege to be here today and witness this day. God bless you, prosper you, and pour all the prosperity that you can stand upon your life. But you know that it's not good for all to be prosperity. It takes some cloudy days to make the crops grow too. And then Brother Reuben, Sister Miriam, I also have greatly appreciated knowing you this past year, over a year. And I'm also persuaded of your goals and your desire to live in a right and God-fearing way. I say God bless you. Go for it. Just get all out of life that you can get in the fear and honor of God. Go for it. And God send all the sunshine upon your life that you can take. But remember that it wouldn't be right. It wouldn't be good for you if it all be sunshine. So when the cloudy day, when the rain and the storms come, know that that will also make the tree strong, and that will bless you too. And I would say, God shine upon you and grace your life with many good things. Once again, we want to honor the parents here this morning, or this afternoon, for giving their consent to this time, and it's with grace and respect to both of you that we appreciate this and honor you for it, and bless you for it. Trust that you can be a help to these couples as they walk through life. And at this time, I think we're going to proceed with the marriage ceremony. We have two here, the oldest of these two couples, Brother Tim and Sister Becky. We can say, God, still, if your desire is still the same as what it has been, when you spoke, we would ask you to come forward here and stand here at the front. Marriage is an ordinance of the Lord, and to both of you, I ask this question. Do you believe that matrimony is an ordinance instituted of God and confirmed and sanctioned by Jesus Christ, and that you must therefore enter upon it in the fear of God? Brother Tim, do you confess and declare that you are unmarried and free from all other marriage relations and engagements whatsoever? And do you confess and declare that you are unmarried, free from all other marriage relations and engagements whatsoever? As you may at this time. I stand before God and these witnesses, take you back to be my beloved wife. I promise to love you as my own brother, to honor and cherish you as my God-given love. I will be your spiritual guide as God wants me to be. I will, by God's grace and your help, raise up our children in the nurture and the mission of the Lord. I promise to love you as Christ loved the church, to be kind and gentle to you always, to care for you in sickness and health, and comfort and well. I promise to be a faithful, loving husband as long as we grow children.
I thank you for God and for you. Thank you, King, to be my husband. I promise to love you in sickness and in health, in wealth and in poverty, always standing by your side in the work of God. I promise to be submissive and obedient unto you, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. I will reverence and honor you above all else and all others in your place of God-given authority. I promise to adore myself with an easy quiet spirit, to be a faithful keeper at home, care and love your children, that the word of God be not blessed in. Where thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. I will love you, pray for you, and be faithful to you for as long as we both shall live.
May the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, through our Lord Jesus Christ, bless and sanctify this union. Go forth. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Go forth as husband and wife, fear God, keep his commandments. Congregation, rise, please. Father in heaven, God, we present unto you this newly married couple in great sincerity, having made their vows that are now kept and written in heaven, we believe, and recorded in heaven. Father, I ask your blessing upon them. Bless our brother Kim. Help him to be a man of God. Make him a tender-hearted husband and father. Help him to guide his wife and lead her into the right way, to be a holy example, and to live in the fear of God all his days. Help him to be a forgiving husband if his wife makes mistakes. And all the things we taught him this morning, Lord, you write upon the tables of his heart and make him a blessing and help him to lead and guide his home, to guide his home in righteousness and truth. And I pray for Sister Becky. I ask your blessing upon her. Help her to have the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, and to live in sweet submission to her husband, Tim, and to walk in the fear of God, and to keep the house, and to guide it in the right way. Oh, Father, I pray, and if you should bless their lives with children, I pray you would bless their lives with children, but help them to bring them up in the fear of God, and to teach them order and respect, and teach them Jesus, that they know, learn to know him, and also the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. God, I just pray you bless this union. Make their life a blessing to others. Let them lift up a holy example here in the colony and wherever they go. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
The Lord. Brother Reuben, Sister Miriam, if it is still your desire, you may come forward.
Both of you, I have this question. Do you believe that matrimony is an ordinance instituted of God and is confirmed and sanctioned by Jesus Christ, and that you must therefore enter upon it in the fear of God? Brother Reuben, do you confess and declare that you are unmarried, free from all our marriage relations and engagements whatsoever? Sister Miriam, do you confess and declare that you are unmarried and free from all our marriage engagements, relations and engagements whatsoever? Brother Reuben, will you, in the presence of God and his witnesses, take Miriam, the sister, by your side to be your wedded wife? Will you love and cherish her, provide and care for her in health and sickness, in prosperity and adversity, exercise patience, kindness, and forbearance toward her, live with her in peace as becometh a faithful Christian husband, and forsaking all others, keep yourself only unto her as long as you both shall live by the way. Sister Mary, will you, in the presence of God and these witnesses, take Brother Reuben, the brother by your side, to be your wedded husband? Will you love and cherish him in health and in sickness, in prosperity and adversity, share with him the joys and sorrows of life, exercise patience, kindness, and forbearance toward him, and live with him in peace as becometh a faithful Christian wife, and forsaking all others, keep yourself only unto him as long as you both shall live. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, bless this union, and what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Go forth in peace and the fear of God, and God bless this union. In Jesus' name, amen. The congregation rise to peace.
Father in heaven, I again pray for this dear couple. Brother Reuben, God, I pray you put a blessing upon him. Make him a man of God. Make him a tender and loving father, always honoring and considering his wife as a weaker vessel. I pray, Father, that you would help him to be the leader in his home, to lead out in establishing a family altar and all the other things that a man is needed for, to take the initiative and go ahead with. Father, I pray that you would bless his days, and you would prosper him as much as he can stand, and you would grace their marriage and help them to work out the difficulties and the adjustments with ease as they learn, have already learned the secret of prayer and of confession and of communication. I pray you blessing, God. And I pray for Sister Miriam. God, I ask you, give her the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Help her to take her place in submission and obedience under him, with respect to him, like Sarah respected Abraham, Father and Lord. And God, you should grace this marriage also, and we pray that you would do with children, that they would raise them in the fear of God. Teach them all about you, and raise another generation of God-fearing people. God, I pray also help them to be pillars in the church, to contribute to the edification of the saints, and leave an example to the other young people here in the colony and other places in the world, that people by their example may know they have the right, have done it the right way, and that they become a holy example. And Father, I just pray, bless them in the coming days, make their adjustments easy, and protect them on the highway as they travel, and be with them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Never be the same. Mm-hmm. You'll never want to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
The way I believe. I never had a day in my life in 24 years that I wanted to be free. I don't believe I ever had a day. And I believe God will give you the same. There's no turning back. At this time, we're going to have a song by Reuben's two sisters here, Rachel and Marianne. And then these couples will go out and arrange for meeting us while we sing another hymn here at the congregation while they do the arranging there. I would like to mention and invite you all very heartily to come back this evening for a revival service for the next perhaps few evenings here. While we're here, just keep in contact with someone here as to the schedule of things. And by the 7:30 tonight, we would like to see as many of you and all your friends and neighbors you care to bring back here in the tent for a revival service.
Amen.
May God bless you for your attendance.
As the promises gather, as the vows are sealed, may you ever be faithful to the love revealed. You have promised to cherish, to love and to hold. May the promises keep you all your lives unfold. You have promised each other this sacred moment to a lifetime of sharing in all you do. May the Father in heaven smile upon you as children and bless the promise and keep you true. You have promised each other, God in heaven has heard. Angels there have recorded every spoken word. In your heart your intention is to always be true. May the most holy promise every day be new. You have promised each other this sacred another life to share. You're the light to be blended into our so fair. In our honest belonging, what a blessing it is. He will always be heard now. She is always his. You have promised each other this sacred moment to a lifetime of sharing in all you do. May the Father in heaven smile upon you as children and bless the promise and keep you true.
Number 38. Number 38.
Come we
number 20.
Listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.